Talk Shoe.
Talk Shoe.
Recorded
live. It hit the fan.
Hey, hey, y'all out there in Geekland. This Geek Soul Brother. I'm with my Nerdy Venoms, and we got a special guest tonight, Russ Emmanuel. He's a director, he's a storyteller, and he's here tonight to talk about his new film that he has. And also he's excited because he just saw Black Panther and he wants to throw a little something in there. We reviewed it last week, but we're always happy to get opinions and whatnot from other people. Review number two. Yeah.
Yeah, like who cares? Well, nothing came out this weekend. Might as well.
Exactly.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? Thank you so much for having me on. I still cannot believe it's been 2 years since I've been on. So, you know, that's still just like, I feel like I'm in a parallel universe.
I can't believe we've been doing this for 7 years. I mean, you know.
If it's any consolation, Russ, you've actually now been a guest more times than anybody else in terms, except for,
really?
Like, say, our semi-regulars.
Yeah, I think so. Three times, right? Except for maybe our regular fans, but our regular family. But, yeah, definitely Russ has been here three times. So,
yeah, Michelle LeRoe has been twice.
Hey, guess what you won?
Yeah, Iron's like twice.
I mean,
third one just to sit with us.
Larry was on
time.
Larry was on twice. Neil was on twice, even though Neil just basically broke into the podcast on the second occasion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah. Mark B. Lee twice.
Mark B. Lee twice.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're the champ.
Yep.
Being tortured.
Good shout out to Mark. Mark is a really great guy. Lakita knows this. You know, I mean, we all mutually met, at Farpoint? It was Farpoint, right?
Yeah, Farpoint,
Was that, 300 years ago? I don't remember anymore. It's been so long.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
far, far away.
Definitely a while ago. But Russ, we're glad to have you on again. As always, you're always an interesting guest. You always have something great to talk about, your experiences as a director. What's the name of the movie? Whisper is the name of your new film?
Yeah, so my new feature is called Whisper, and we shot that last July in New Jersey and Harlem, mostly in New Jersey, though. So, for people out there, if you want to see anything about the film, you go to whisperproject.com. That's WISPERproject.com. So it's not Whisper with an H. It's an actual name. Yeah, and the main character is Josiah Whisper, played by Christian Barber. He was on the show Empire. I'm telling you, we shot over 10 days, and we had 106 actors and 12 locations. And I didn't realize the magnitude of it until I saw the trailer, which you can see on the that website I mentioned. But when I saw the trailer cut by this wonderful person named Melisande Bliss out of New York, and I was like going, whoa, what did I just do? But yeah, it was a very exciting experience, and I was very happy to do that. So it's actually based on a true story, and basically it's about this brash businessman named Josiah Whisper. And he's wrongfully accused for the murder of his family. And basically, they just moved to New Jersey into a very nice, posh neighborhood, but they used to live in Harlem. And basically, the police investigation that ensues, the two departments in New Jersey and New York, they didn't talk to each other, and it became a big snafu. So it's based on something that happened. And I can't say too much about it because I'm not allowed to.
Right.
But, it is based on a true story.
Wow. So he was wrongfully accused, the true story, he was wrongfully accused of a murder or crime?
Yeah, in the real life, it's a cold case. They don't know who did it. They think it could be mob. They think it could be, there's a lot of conjecture. And I'll tell you that we, in our film, we basically put our own take on it as to what happened.
Right.
And so, you know, we tell the audience we think it's this particular person who did it. And again, I'm not going to, you know, spoil or anything. But it is technically, I guess you can consider it a crime thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in the same style as Occupants, which is found footage, but it's much more frenetic. Whereas Occupants was a lot of static shots. If you remember, it's just basically, you know, two people plus Robert Picardo from Star Trek, you know, talking to the camera, and the camera is pretty much set up, you know. I mean, there's some handheld, but not a lot.
Right.
Whisper, on the other hand, is just pure frenetic energy. It is so
interesting.
It is so different. It's more Cloverfield in terms of style.
Interesting.
And,
that's right.
Yeah. See the trailer, you'll understand. And again, it just did not dawn upon me because, you know, I'm the director and I'm just focused on getting the shots and the performances, right? So I'm just being jetted around to location. I'm trying to get the shots. Like, we shot at a gun shop and we only had 2 hours. So, you know, my mind was not even on, oh my gosh, look at everything that we're doing. It's more like, we got to get it done in those 2 hours. You know, that's all we have, you know?
Right, right.
So that was my concern. But it was a great experience. The DP, editor, DP is director of photography, and the editor is my longtime collaborator, Emil Harris. And, you know, he and I were basically the only ones from Los Angeles. There were three other actors who came also. But other than that, it was just he and I, you know.
Mostly East Coast?
Yeah, it was, I would say, 97% East Coast. And we had some really great crew, great actors. I'm telling you, it was... I always say like Team Occupants or Team Assassins and Assassins, the Assassin's Apprentice, which, by the way, we just completed, and I would love to talk about that too. But that one has Marina Sirtis and Robert Picardo. But but that aside, this one here, I mean, it's just let's see. I'm on the IMDb, and it shows there's 106 actors and there's 54 crew.
Nice. That's a wonderful. That's a wonderful production. This is your biggest production yet, right?
I would say so.
Biggest production yet. That's awesome. Russ, before you continue, for the audience, anybody new that's listening, let me introduce my Nerdy Venoms real quick.
Sure.
Thanks. For you guys that are listening, we always have great guests on the show, and Russ is one of them. And we're a longtime fan of his material that he's been producing, and Occupants was the first film that we talked about on the podcast. But let me introduce my Nerdy Venoms. We have JD on the call.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you, JD. We got Artsimana, aka Shadow Scout.
I never freeze.
I don't know. Yeah, you freeze a few times. You freeze. We got Toby Wan Kenobi.
Kind of forever.
We got the private.
What up, Auntie?
Hey, Auntie. Do we have M Dog? I didn't hear M Dog before.
Yes, we do have him.
Hey, M Dog.
Hey.
And we have Lord Dalit.
Cactus Bill did nothing wrong.
And that's it.
Nah,
we got the Nerdy Venoms with us. And you can always find our shows on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want, you can find the past episodes. You can have us on TalkShoe. Not for long, though. We're getting ready to – we'll talk more in detail. We're getting ready to end the podcast and move on to stuff. But the private is taking things – the private and Nerdy Venoms are definitely taking things and moving forward. So we'll talk more with that. But you can definitely find past episodes, iTunes and Stitcher. And You can, yeah, you can definitely go to geeksoulbrother.com for posts, for reviews, for commentaries, for trailers. You can go to my Facebook page, Geek Soul Brother, on Facebook for a lot of trailers. I just put up the Fahrenheit 451 trailer for that Michael B. Jordan is starting in. So that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on Twitter. You can find Five Nerdy Venoms on Twitter for all your nerdy news and on Facebook. So definitely check them out if you want to know what's happening in the geek world. They do a great job for posting up everything. And let's get back to Russ. Russ, yeah, this sounds like a huge production for you. How was it? First of all, how did you get the gig? Second of all, how was it? How was the experience to move up the directorial ladder and get such a big production?
Well, I was hired yet again by my longtime collaborator, producer Howard Nash, and it was his pet project for 30 years. So, you know, it was an honor to work with Howard again. Howard, for people who don't know, Howard and I have worked together as producer-director for five feature films now. And mm-hmm. the first one was PJ back in 2006 and 2007, and that had late John Hurd in the film. And then we did Chasing the Green, and that one was it Jeremy London, Ryan Hurst, and William Devane. Then when we did The Legend from Mathia, and that had Robert Picardo in the main role, and it was kind of neat when we did the shoot. And this is for any quote unquote Trekkies out there, you'll get this. But we had a 9-day shoot, and I told him now we're on the 7th of 9 days.
Oh goodness!
Now you get it. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And then we did the film that really, I guess, really, really propelled me. And again, this is just, I'm just so grateful to so many people for this. And a big shout out to the writer, Julia Camera, of Occupants.
Right.
Occupants is just, I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, Occupants just really, it's been a surreal experience with that film. So, and then, you know, he hired me for Whisper. And it's just such an honor to have, you know, the trust of somebody like Howard. And it's just, there's just so much gratitude, you know, and I wanted to do the best possible. And, you know, I insisted that Emil Harris is hired because Emil and I have basically, you know, we've worked together for so many years, way, way back from like Her Night and Girl with Gun. I might have mentioned Girl with Gun before. We did that 14 years ago, and it got mm-hmm. into like San Diego Comic-Con, which is one of the reasons why Howard hired me for PJ. It's because of Girl with Gun. So I know, and he knows basically what I want, and I know what he can give me. So it made the shooting experience, this is that second question, it made the shooting experience very efficient. Because
right.
I knew exactly, you know, I could trust him 150,000%. And I knew what he can give me. But that said, so what happened was I did some location scouting back in, I think it's like early May of that year, 2017. And we found the locations. I met, you know, some of the key crew, like Frank Drucker, who's UPM, Nick Saccaro, who was the production coordinator, Tiffany Lloyd, who was casting director and first AD. And then what happened was then we started auditioning actors, right? And when it came time, when it became July, I think I left on July 3rd with Harris, Emil Harris. And what happened was we had a week to prepare because we started shooting on July 10th and we ended on July 21st. And we had, I think, like 2 days off in between. So on July 3rd, we arrived. And we met basically the actors that we had cast. And the good thing about the internet is you could see the auditions, you know, basically, you know, digitally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And You know, you can go to, like, I guess, castingcall.com or whatnot, you know, just see a lot of auditions. So Tiffany and was working with Howard to try to get all these key roles. And I'm telling you, there were so many roles. Oh, it was so daunting. It's just, it was ridiculous.
And there were a lot of course, there were a lot of people that showed up, a lot of casting calls that showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? And God bless Tiffany and Howard, because I didn't have to handle that part.
Right.
It's a deluge of it's an avalanche of so many submissions, you know?
Right.
And they basically picked the ones that they thought were the best, and then I watched those. Because there's no way I can view, like, hundreds of auditions. It's impossible. Not for
and still do the rest of your duties as a director.
Exactly. So that's what made it tough. So what happened was, you know, we did have auditions. I forgot if it was in May or July. I think it was in May, to be honest. You know, I mean, it's just, it's been like 7-8 months now, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's starting to all, like, you know, I guess kind of like become a big, like, I don't know, what do you call it? It's just all squished together. I just can't remember everything, but I do remember we had auditions, then we had callbacks, and we had specific sides for the actors to read. So we did cast him. I don't know if we cast – no, we did not cast him in May. We must have cast him in early June. And then what happened was the day before or 2 days before, we had rehearsals. So we had a script reading, basically. It's a reading, you know. And so
right.
The principal actors, and that included Christian Barber, Najee Ken, who played Laura, Lanisha Goldstone, who played Norma, Kanisha Green, who played Melanie, Laquana Henney, who played Alyssa, Gail Samuels, who played the mama, Morris Small, Curtis, Michael Emery, who played Reverend Henning, and he was one of the three actors who came from Los Angeles.
Right,
Thatcher, Tim Sinanti, who played detectives. We had Michael Ray, who played Manny. And Michael Ray, by the way, was in a film called Collar that I did. It's a short film. It's like a spec project. So, you know, I knew what he can do. He played the gun shop owner, Manny. And we had people like Nicholas Calhoun, who played Detective Conlon. I mean, I can go on and on. It was just so much. And by the way, a big shout out to Clapitz. Because Clapit.com, I don't know if you know about Clapit, but it's like a platform for, young and aspiring actors. And they send in auditions. And you get to pick the top 5 male and female. And of those, then you get to pick which ones that are going to be in the film. And what it is we picked two. Was it Joseph Coppola, who played Detective Schuster? Sorry, I'm getting a brain freeze here.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's just so many.
It's a huge production and whatnot.
Isabel Romero. She played a birthday testimonial. So basically, you have to give I think 3 lines minimum for each of the winners.
Right.
And then they put money into the production. So. You know, big shout out to Mary Jane Bolseco, who is basically, you know, the spearhead the head honcho of Clapit. And we just worked together, by the way, Clapit, MJ, Howard and I on a production called The Meeting, which I just shot last Sunday or 2 Sundays ago in New York. So I'm still not fully recovered from that, because we shot that thing. It's called The Meeting. We shot 2 webisodes. In it's like 13 pages, and we shot that in 13 hours. And then we finished at 10 p.m., and I was on a flight back to L.A. at 7 a.m.
You mentioned that the film was very frenetic from what the editor did. I know you kind of said there wasn't much time for communication, but did you have some dialogue with your editor as to the direction that you both wanted to go or he wanted to go?
Well, the editor was the DP. So basically,
Of course you had communication then. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no need to communicate because I know exactly what he's going to do. I mean, this guy is so good,
right.
You know? Won so
right.
many awards for occupants. He's winning awards for caller now because he edited that.
Yeah.
You know, he edited The Assassin's Apprentice, and I'm sure he's going to, you know, get some noms or whatnot, you know? But no,
right.
I know exactly what he can give me. He just turned in the third cut yesterday. So, you know, we're viewing the film. And what happens is the producer, Howard Nash, and myself, we basically make notes for him, you know, and this is a 91-minute film, so it does take time, right? Versus,
I was
going to
say it's a full feature. It's a full feature film.
It's a full feature. It's like, it'll be like 90 minutes and 14 seconds. I think that's what it's going to be. So
nice.
It's just, and he keeps telling me, Russ, do you understand what we just shot? I'm going, what? You know, we did a full feature in 10 days, right? I'm like, well, yeah. He goes, do you understand? So, yeah. So again, it did not hit me the magnitude until I saw that trailer. You know, it just didn't occur to me. Or maybe I was just too close to the material. I don't know. Because, you know, what happens is every time I do a feature, especially a feature, I need a break, you know? I mean, it's a lot of work. And we're talking like 12 to 14-hour days. And we shot in over 10 days, right? And we had 2 days off.
Right.
And it's tiring. So, you know, I mean, my brain kind of goes in a kind of like standby mode for a while. And then I just, you know, don't even think about the project because I can't. If I do, I'll go crazy. So
right.
I get back to it and we're doing the edit and all that. And again, you know, it just didn't occur to me what we had. But when I saw the second cut and I saw the trailer, I'm going, wow, we have a film.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but that was like months later. Then, you know, I was able to digest it by that point. Then I guess I was a little more objective versus subjective. So, yeah, I'm
right.
very, very proud of Whisper. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm getting that occupants vibe when I see that. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, is the plan the same with most films that's ascended to the festivals, or are there other plans to market it?
Howard is thinking really big on this one, so it could be even bigger with occupants. I mean, there one thing about occupants that I sort of regret is we shot that in 2K, which is 1920 by 1080 pixels. It's HD resolution, basically.
Yeah.
And for some theaters now, I don't know if in your neck of the woods, and I know you're in different cities, some theaters are adapting to 4K now, you know,
right.
4K digital. So I was very, very adamant that we shoot with a 4K camera. And I was very, very, I told Howard, we got to shoot 4K because if we want to go theatrical, we have no choice but to shoot with 4K. So we asked because, again, you know, I worked with them for what, how many feature films now? And so, you know, when it comes to the tech stuff, you know, he's basically, you know, he basically says, okay, you know, Rusty, you know what you're talking about. But I'm thinking like, you know, we want this to be big, right? And same thing with the trailer. You know, we had to get that right person to be able to cut it. And this Melisande, she was perfect. I mean, I told Howard, if we don't have a trailer that can give us that oomph, you know, that oomph factor, nobody's
right.
going to want to watch the film. So I told him, we got to hire the right person, you know?
Right, right.
I told him, I can't cut the trailer because initially I was supposed to do it, but I told him, I'm just too close to it. You need somebody with an objective eye and look at this
right.
film and cut that trailer. And when she cut that trailer and put that music, especially that music, oh my gosh, I was like, wow, that's it. You know, that's the momentum that we need. As we complete
right.
the film, and it's done in the summer of 2018. So we have big plans for this film, much bigger than Occupants.
Nice. Yeah, the trailer, I mean, cutting a trailer is its own skill versus editing the film. Yeah, it's definitely within its own skill set and stuff. So that's cool. That's cool that you got a good trailer and stuff.
Yeah, she basically made the film look much bigger than it actually was, you know, much
right.
bigger. I mean, it looked like a two-month shoot. That's what she
was better than the Venom trailer.
And I was shocked. That's why I didn't understand the magnitude of what I did until I saw that trailer, you know? I'm going, we shot at all those locations with all those actors? And it,
yeah.
You know, it finally dawned on me. I saw this trailer and I go, wow, what the heck did I just do? So
right. It's,
you know, I was just so happy with that trailer. And when I saw the second cut of the film, I was even happier. And I know we have a film, you know, because of that. So I'm a very happy director. I'm very happy to have directed Whisper.
Russ, I have a question for you.
Go ahead, Art.
What's that?
I have a question. I'm just thinking, you know, you said that you have some big plans for the feature, and
yep.
I'm kind of thinking about just the nature of the subject matter. You know, this is essentially a cold case. And so, you know, for podcasters, I mean, we have the moment where you have a show like Serial, right, which is getting people to think about some of these old cold cases, these old stories, and like potentially have the cops look at it again, have, you know, law authorities come in and take a second look. I mean, are you open to the possibility that, you know, this could potentially reopen, you know, get this on the consciousness of not only authorities, but the public to take another look at this?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I talked to Howard about this. You know, I mean, it definitely is something unfortunately, the main subject, the person that Josiah Whisper is based on, unfortunately, he passed away. But you know, there are cold cases that are like solved, what, 30 years later, 40 years later? I mean, they just reopened with the Natalie Wood case.
Yeah.
That cold case. That happened, what, in 1980? So that's a good 37, 38 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. 82.
Yeah. Oh, 82? Yeah. So, I mean, it definitely, yes, it's something that's on our minds. Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to hit some strings, if you will, you know, both positive and negative, this film, because it is, it can be somewhat controversial, and we understand that. You know, but that's what I think is necessary to get people to open their eyes, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need, and this is one reason to have films, you know, to be able to have that medium, to be able to do that, you know. I mean, it's been, you know, like Schindler's List, let's say, or 12 Years a Slave, right? Those type of films. Very hard to watch.
Right.
They're very hard to watch. But, you know, I mean, it's something that needs to be told. And I think Whisper is in that category.
That's what's up. To get to raise the social consciousness through the medium. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you took a break. You took a break from it. And now it's and now you kind of got the second cut and stuff like that. How are you going to be a part of the production from here on in as far as finishing the final cut and the marketing? And...
Oh, if you remember what I did on Occupants, I will be quite hands-on with high tiered festivals, that Howard will be dealing with distributors and I don't handle that part, but I will definitely be handling, festivals, and we're talking high tiered ones. So, you know, this will not go to Comic-Cons, obviously. This is not a Comic-Con type of film. Occupants. But it will definitely, it's something that, you know, I'm going to be very hands-on with the marketing. So yes, I'm very, here's what happens. Now. So we're going to lock picture, and locking pictures basically once the cut is finalized, right? Once we lock picture, then what we have to do is we have to separate it to the three elements, which is sound, music, and visuals. So with sounds, we already hired our longtime collaborator, Sean Fahimian, who did the sound design and the sound work for Occupants. And I've worked with him since Girl with Guns. So he's already hired. He's going to do it. Music will be Vasilis Malefis, who's the composer of Occupants, and he did Assassin's Apprentice and Caller, so he's going to take care of that. I'm also working with our co-producer, Timothy Conley, who's in the film, too. And he's one of the LA actors, by the way, who did Fly. So I mentioned three, and I think I mentioned all three now. So he's one of them. And we're working with him. You know, one thing about the marketing of this film, he knows a lot of West Coast hip-hop artists. So we're going to be working with him to try to coordinate. Because one thing that he told us is that, especially attract a younger generation, need that type of music. So we're working with the producer to try to, you know, try to see what we can do. So we're in that early stage right now. We haven't locked pictures, so we can't really do much. But, you know, we know we're going to have some songs. And then the composer will deal with more tension music, you know. And when I say tension, it's more like sound design, like, especially when you see the murder scene. And I'm not going to say too much about it, but the trailer sort of touches on it. But the murder scene is, from that point on, you need tension music, you know. So we need to do that. And then the visuals, there's some visual effects work that needs to be done. And there's color correction, of course.
Right.
We don't know who's going to work on that yet, but we're going to have to hire somebody. So what I need to do is make these breakdowns, it's called, notes, sound notes, music notes. Like I want music to start at this time code. And time code is where you put a visual time code onto a film, like a marker that shows, you know, hour, minutes, seconds, and frames. And this is 24 frames, technically 23,976 frames per second. So you say at, you know, 01, let's say it's 1 hour in, or 01:22, 22 minutes, you know, 38 seconds, and 17 out of 24 frames. You want this music to start here. And then you have a music hit at this time code, and then it fades out like that. So I make those notes, and it's a lot of work, you know, especially for a feature, but it needs to be done.
Yeah.
And I did that for Occupants in every single film. And I don't know if people understand the magnitude of post-production, but it's a lot of work, you know.
Dude, you just made me tired.
So,
what?
So are you planning on taking this on the festival circuit? Because I think Sundance was like 4 weeks ago.
Yes, we are. And obviously we are definitely eyeing festivals like Sundance. And Sundance, I already put together for the producer a list of high-tiered festivals and their deadlines. So for festivals, you use like sometimes like South by Southwest. It's their own portal. But other times it's like Without a Box or Film Freeway. And then they have these deadlines, early bird, regular, late, you know, extended late. I mean, there's so many different deadlines. But you kind of want to try to reach the early deadlines because that way then your films have more chance to get accepted. So we're definitely
looking at next year.
No, definitely for next year. Obviously, we cannot submit to Sundance unless we
go
back
not.
In time, like in Star Trek. But we're not in Star Trek, unfortunately, so I can't go back in time. So, come on, you know I'm a Trekkie.
Not
mad at
you. If you want me to.
You're one of our best Trekkies that we've had on the show.
When I directed Marina Sirtis, I have to admit I kind of geeked out because I watched her growing up and I'm now directing her. It was so surreal. I'm going, Marina, can you do it this way? It's just, you know, I'm her director. It's kind of very weird, you know.
But please, can I you give me the autograph
so
again?
It is so, you know, even directing Picardo, you know, I mean, Bob Picardo, I consider him a good friend now. You know, I've worked with him, what, like six times now or seven times. But it's just so surreal. You know, you grow up watching these people, right?
That's your dream.
You direct them. And it's just like, wow, really? You know?
Yeah, I just read a quote, one successful quote. Said, you've gone far when your idols become your peers.
Mm.
And, you know, they're great people, and they're people, they're human beings, you know, and they're artists. They want to work. They want to give their all. And Bob Picardo gives his all.
Right.
You know, you go back to Whisper, Christian Barber. Oh my God, he had so much to do in this film. You know, he gave it his all. He gave it his all. And I tell you, without Christian Barber as Josiah Whisper, I think the film would have fallen apart. So it's like, you know, you go back to Occupants. Without Brianna White or Michael Pagliacci, they had to carry the film. You know, the whole.
Well, without Russ Emmanuel, I think the film would have had problems too. So it's lucky that they got.
Russ Emanuel, to quote myself in the third person, is a perfectionist to the point of neuroses. So, you know,
that's funny.
I think I'm crazy or insane, and maybe that's why I'm able to direct. I don't know. But one part of me is when I feel a performance, it's very subjective, but I can feel a performance, if that makes sense. And when it works, it just feels right.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No,
that
makes perfect sense. You're supposed to.
Make for great
performances. Exactly. I think as a director, you're supposed to internalize. You're supposed to have an intuition about what's the right moment and what's the right, you know, how the actor has captured the moment.
Yeah, I hope when people see my films that they can see that. I hope. I really do. You know, I don't like to, and I maybe other filmmakers feel this way. It's really hard for me to watch my own films. Uh-huh. I just had a screening of Color at the Huntington Beach Film Festival, really great festival. It used to be called the SoCal Independent Film Festival. And I just could not watch my film. It's not because I hate my film. I don't. I just see the errors. That's all I see, you know.
And, you know, the artist is his greatest critic.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's the same thing with the actors. You know, I mean, if, you know, I'm sure for the actors, they just see their own flaws. I've talked to them, you know, before about this. You know, it's hard for actors. God bless the actors because, my gosh, it's so hard. You know, you see yourself, especially if you're in a lead role, and you're going to criticize your own self, right? You're going to critique it and going, oh, my God, what did I do there? Or did I do something wrong there? Or then as a director, I'm like, oh, should we have extended this cut here? And, oh, I wish we had done that and stuff like that. And so it's really, really hard for somebody like me to just sit there, especially for a feature, you know, for 90-minute feature, just sit there looking at my own film and going, ooh, ee.
That's hard for any artist. Whether you're drawing or whether you're doing film or anything like that.
Yeah,
Russ,
you're not alone there.
Russ, I got a cutout. I got a cutout, but keep on talking. The Nerdy Villain, Artsy Manna, you can help Russ. With a couple more questions and stuff, and. Yeah, in a couple minutes, Russ, if you want to talk about Black Panther, that would be great. We could always do that. And then, and then we could do, you know, right after we could do, Jonathan, you can do the news and everything and just close out the show, box office tolls and all that.
Let's all go to Wakanda.
Yo, fly the ship over now.
Hopefully somebody
the Bugatti
from
spaceship.
Let us in.
Anyway, Russ,
I'll get in.
Thanks again for coming on. Good luck with the movie. We're excited for you. We're excited to see your career just increase on and on. Just remember us. You know, remember me.
Yeah.
You know,
one
of the little guys. Remember us, the little people, when you hit it big and you're right up there with Spielberg.
Oh boy, you're too kind, but you're my peers.
Yes. Russ, I'll see you on Facebook.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that you have me on. I really do. Thank you.
No, it's all right. Artsy Manna, give Artsy Manna. She's always calling on good people. So I think we should all thank Artsy Manna, aka Shadow Scout, for that. But I'll see y'all later. I'm gonna cut out. You guys can finish the show. You know how to do it.
Thank you again.
All right.
I would think you did it right.
Yeah.
Talk to you later. Mentioned color.
Bye.
Talk to you, so, brother. Color is a cool premise, and I say this as a former Catholic schoolgirl.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about what color is about?
Well, it's the brainchild of producer-writer Troy Gabaldon, and, you know, I'm going to connect him to Occupants because we met because of a screening of Occupants at the Downtown Los Angeles Film Festival. He had his film called Breaking Trump in there, and it seems like, according to him, I was the only one asking questions about his film, and he appreciated it. But, you know, I like to support my fellow filmmakers. So I was like, you know, I'm watching other people's films, basically. So we met at the award ceremony of that festival. And, you know, I met his friend, Sean Gunnell, who turns out to be the lead actor called the Tall Man in Collar. So, you know, he said, Russ, I have the script. You know, I would like you to read it. And by the time that we met at Shriekfest, and Shriekfest was, again, he had another film there, and I had Occupants, and Occupants, you know, and again, God bless Shriekfest. Oh my gosh, Shriekfest. Shriekfest treated us so well. You know, Denise Gossett, who was an actor in Collar, by the way. And, you know, they gave us the best sci-fi film award. I'm going, wow, you know, that's like so surreal. So, you know, basically we met there, and he hired me, he paid me to direct Collar. And one thing I liked about it, it had two twists, two very surprise twists in the film. And it deals with, you know, taboo subjects. You know, one is, was it pedophilia? One is religion. You know, and religion is, you know, one of those no-no, you know, you don't talk about it at the dinner table type of subjects, right? That in politics. But it gets the conversation going, and it's very controversial. And I thought this type of story, like Whisper, had to be told, you know, because it's about the Catholic priests and the abuses and all that stuff, you know, the cover-ups and everything. But it's like the first 15 minutes of a pilot, of a TV pilot, and Troy Gabaldon has already written that pilot, and it has a very big potential for a series.
Yeah.
And I was very intrigued by this. And if you see the film, you'll understand. And if you want me to send you a private link, let me know. But it's incredibly, it makes you think, you know, it's not for everybody. It's definitely not for kids. You know, this is a rated R film. You see you hear the F word, I don't know how many times. So
just
like your show. But when we screened at the Huntington Beach Festival and I saw some kids in the audience, I was like, yee! again, it's that team. You know, I mentioned Emil Harris, Sean Fahimian, you know, Michael Ray, who was theater actor, who played the priest. Michael Ray, who was Manny in Whisper. You know, I mentioned Vasilis, and just, you know, it's basically just Team Whisper. You know, Team Collar is Team Whisper. Well, there are some members of Team Collar that went on to Team Whisper, basically. But I knew what they could give me, and Troy had faith in me. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a wonderful film. It's a wonderful film, and I think it has a lot of potential. And I'm so happy that I met Troy and his wife, Lori, who I forgot to give a shout out at the Q&A at the Huntington Beach Film Festival. So I think I'll do it here.
Yeah.
But they're so wonderful. And, you know, just you know, when you see the film, I hope you enjoy it. But it will definitely make you think.
Yeah. Well, Russ, you said something, you know, earlier. You said that you really like to support directors, right? And look at their work. And and so I want to segue into Black Panther because you have a really, I think, cool perspective on this in that Ryan Coogler, you basically could say he was an independent filmmaker,
I think. Yes, he was. Yeah.
And right. So what is that like for you, seeing his work and then seeing sort of that, you know, work get this kind of attention? And also know you have a California connection. So I just want to vibe with you a little bit about, you know, seeing Ryan do what he does and your take on it at all.
Well, I mean, look at him. He worked with, was it Michael Jordan, Michael B. Jordan, on mm-hmm. one of his films. You see, he's very loyal and he's like team. He considers his people family, I guess. You know, same thing with me,
yeah,
with my crew and cast. And I saw Creed. I love Creed. You know, which I consider Rocky 7, but that's just me. But he was able to get Stallone a nomination, right? I mean, that's got to say something. Get an Oscar nomination. So I was like, okay, this is really good. You know, when I saw Black Panther, I'll tell you this, the only downside for me for Black Panther was that I was able to predict what was going to happen. And maybe that's because I just watched too many films or directed too many films. So I kind of knew that certain things were going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
I was able
was
to
no surprises,
predict
really.
The film. But then again, it's a Marvel movie, and they had a follow formula. So I understood, you know. And I thought the performances were incredible. I thought the directing was incredible. I thought everything was incredible. I would give the film probably an 8 out of 10. It's a really good film. You know, I very much enjoyed
it. You know what, Russ? I wanted to bring this up real quick, and especially that because among us, I believe everyone in the room actually really like this film a lot.
Yep.
So I came across a New York Times article written by a guy that calls himself Media Man. And I just wanted to bring this up and just get a round robin on how people or how we feel about this. Just listen, this is what he wrote. Mm-hmm. Once again, Hollywood gets it wrong. This is a violent movie, and it is not for kids. It should be R-rated. There was too many younger children, 4 to 11, exposed to this movie. They are already exposed to too much violence living in urban settings. That's his first paragraph.
Yeah.
Is this a column, or is it just a guy writing?
It's an editorial.
I think it's just a columnist. Like, I don't know. I just want to bring the opposite in, because a lot of people love it, and this is like the only one that I've seen that kind of going really against it hard.
Well, I mean, it's you had that shooting that just happened, 3 weeks ago? You know, and maybe that kind of influenced that editorial, if it's an editorial. And a lot
good
of
point.
People, Hollywood of having too much violence, right? And then it stems more violence. But the reason why I thought it was necessary, feel for the Michael B. Jordan character because of the way he grew up, and then you understand why he's so bitter, right? And I don't want to spoil the movie. But you sympathize.
Oh, we already spoiled it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you understand. You understand his plight. So in this sense, I think it's kind of necessary to be able to show. And this is, again, it's a Marvel movie. So it has a way to reach a broader audience than, let's say, an independent film. And to be able to deal with the social matter in a Marvel movie, it really does. Again, you have how many people have seen the film now? It's like 412 million domestic.
They keep going, they keep seeing it over and over again.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it like the first 4 days it beat out Last Jedi, you know, I don't know, million or two, but it beat it out. You know, that's got to say something. And it's now the third top Marvel movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Most likely, it's actually probably now on track to be the first Marvel film since the first Marvel film since the Avengers to probably crack $1 billion.
And it's a really well done film. You know, again, you know, the only downside was I was kind of able to predict what was going to happen, so it made my enjoyment a little bit less. I'm going, they're going to go there, and they went there.
But Russ, did you predict?
Yeah.
Claw dying as quickly as he did.
That was the
no,
only,
I did not.
Like,
no,
well, there you go.
No,
that's the one
you
missed coming.
That's like the only disappointing part. They shouldn't have killed off Claw that quickly.
There are some moments where I cannot predict it. You know, like at first I did not know why they were focusing on that young, you know, young kid at the beginning of the film. Then I realized, okay, now I understand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, tied it together. So there are certain things where I was like, you know. And did I predict that, the priest, right?
Missouri.
Was
younger version. Whereas
Whitaker. I didn't predict that either. So, you know, there are certain things I didn't predict, that his younger version was in the first scene, and he was also from Wakanda and all that stuff. So there are certain things.
There weren't really mind-blowing twists.
No, there wasn't.
There wasn't a Mandarin moment.
No,
and it really didn't need it either.
Well, no, I mean, it's a Marvel movie. It was just it was fun. You know, just like I enjoyed Thor, the last Thor. I actually enjoyed it.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. You know, that movie I just laughed my butt off. The whole movie was
fun.
So, you know, and I don't know, Marvel just gets it right. And DC, they got it right, I guess, once with Wonder Woman. That's my opinion.
Sort of.
But
they're working it.
Not really.
I'm like, the Justice League film, I'm like, you know, I was focusing on, you know, for the Justice League film, I was very conscious about focusing on Henry Cavill's lack of mustache.
Like he had a tapeworm on his little face.
So I'm going, was that a reshoot? Was that a reshoot?
Wow.
He's going a little bit, Governor Tarkin from Rogue One there. Anyway. I'm telling you, it's a really wonderful film, and the music was really good. You know, and it just
I got both soundtracks.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's a really well done film. I was very impressed. So, Black Panther.
I was gonna go into the second, his second paragraph, because I wanted I actually wanted Shadow Scout to hear this one and comment on it as well. Real quick, his second paragraph goes, "The movie elevates black women at the expense of black men. Only one black woman is a villain. The rest are goddesses. Almost all the black men, even the Black Panther, is flawed. Where's the balance? Are only black men capable of being evil? The women are not even attractive. They are warriors and not mothers or wives, except for Angela Bassett. She is but she is not featured much."
You know what they should do in Wakanda? Knit.
You need to send me this, because I want to read this for myself.
This is just one of those things where you're like, literacy is wasted on trolls.
You actually made me go out looking for that awful HuffPost editorial they actually had as their main headline. Are Americans allowed in Wakanda?
Oh my God.
That was a real headline. Oh. That was their masthead for 5 hours.
I'll tell you who's not allowed in Wakanda. That's R. Kelly.
Hashtag
you, R. Kelly.
Talking about the American, Martin Freeman, I was very happy to see that he was in a scene with Andy Serkis.
That joke last week. Two Tolkien white folks. Yes.
Yeah. It was Ian Holm.
It's not the white folks. It's Bilbo Baggins meets Gollum. That's what I was
thinking. Yeah, I know that. That's Tolkien white. Never mind.
All was missing was Doctor Strange to show up and make some sort of archaic reference to Barrow Rider.
Okay, I will say he's saying all the women are like beautiful and glorified, right? Yeah, I'll say Lupita looked a lot better in this film than she did in Star Wars. There you go.
I mean,
he won on that one.
It just boggles the mind that in this day and age that a paper, a publication like the New York Times would publish crap like that.
That was my thing.
No, it doesn't.
No, that's completely believable lately in the.
Thanks, Trump.
Yeah.
There
we go.
But I think that's
Jonathan. God,
yeah,
I hate to.
I know. Lakita knows my opinion, but I tend to be kind of mum about that stuff. The politics.
Yeah. That's right.
Understood. Totally.
Yeah, I know, Russ.
Yeah, she knows my opinion. She understands that I've sent her a lot of GIFs, but I tend to be publicly mum about this stuff. Politics and religion. Very mum.
And you will get ahead in life a lot more than the rest of us. Let me tell you.
I'm gonna link this in the chat. I just want you to know this exists.
Here's the thing. We're humans, right? And humans have different opinions. And I'm kind of like one of those kumbaya, why can't we just all get along kind of person? I grew up very international around so many different religions and races and all that. So I just don't see that. I just see everybody as humans. So that's my mindset. So, I don't know. I just try to, just stay out of the fray and just enjoy life. Carpe diem. Carpe noctem.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. And then maybe try to geek out on like Star Trek. Oh, by the way, I'm just curious, who on this show likes Discovery?
I'm still watching.
You know what, I did not like it in the beginning, but it got better.
Yes, I agree.
I totally agree.
And when they went into the Mirror Universe, I got really happy.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong.
But then the last episode was kind of like, oh, it's only half good. I'm like,
the last episode, they literally just hit the reset button on the whole damn season, and then they ripped off a Wing Commander video game in the process.
You know what? I will.
Back. That's all I want to know. Is Michelle Yeoh back? Because she's amazing.
Yeah, she's back.
Well,
she came back from the dead.
Well, if you've seen all the episodes, you know the answer to that.
I have not.
Will she be back in season two? That's my question. And also, will they feature Spock? For anybody who's seen the last episode, what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And who's Captain Pike? That's the other question.
Captain Pike.
Or will they even bother showing anything at all with that meeting between the Enterprise and Discovery?
Well, why would they? Well, again, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but why would
they? Well,
we've
already spoiled it, so,
No.
Okay,
why would
they show
Enterprise? All I can tell you is it was the most groan-inducing moment of television I've seen this year.
Well, why would they show the Starship Enterprise and mention Captain Pike? And when Captain Pike was in service, I mean, this was Menager Cage? The Cage took place a couple of years.
This was 2 years.
Timeline before Discovery. So Spock is on that ship, and Captain Pike, they mentioned, is captain of the Enterprise. So why wouldn't they show them? They have to show them.
Man.
That's what I think,
From one lover of Star Trek to another, I just purchased the Bluetooth communicator.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
And I got the remote control phaser.
What?
Yeah.
Nice.
They have the original.
Toby, it doesn't work. It's not real.
I don't care.
Not
it
real.
Looks so nice. It'll sit really nice on my desk, looking gorgeous.
Do you have any more room left on your desk with all this crap?
No, I had to start bringing stuff home.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Listen, when I was a kid growing up, there was a lot of stuff I couldn't get, and I could get it now myself.
Get yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Mama.
I would say the same thing, but I have a wife.
Your model, the Enterprise D ever again. You hear me?
Now, see, I would normally agree with you there, Toby, but I have this problem called a significant other who will not let me buy these things.
See, I avoided that.
If you stop calling her a problem, she would probably let you buy the few things.
Oh.
Did somebody quote George Takei?
Oh my.
I heard an oh my there.
Yes, you did.
So should we do the news or what?
I'll have to start with,
why?
Hold on.
Why?
Why the hell no?
I don't know. Okay. Before, well, actually, after all this, it's the nerdy news. Indeed.
Indeed. Anyone going to say it?
Take it away, Private.
It sounded kind of pervy, dude. That was kind of shitty. Anyway.
Oh, this again?
Yes.
Oh, no. Flush it now.
Okay. We begin tonight with the continuing success of Black Panther, of course, with the film sitting on top of the world right now with $700 million in the bank. Disney announced yesterday that it will be donating, which I hope will only be the beginning, $1 million to the Boys and Girls Club to further develop its youth STEM programs throughout the country. This includes a new STEM Center of Innovation to be established in Ryan Coogler's hometown of Oakland, California.
Indeed, when Oakland's a dump.
Hello.
I'm allowed to call it a dump. I live there.
That's a good point.
He's got stomping ground. Okay.
He has domain over it. Okay. AMC is looking to help underprivileged kids see A Wrinkle in Time. The theater chain is teaming up with the organization Color of Change to help individuals and organizations buy blocks of tickets in order to get children less fortunate to see Ava DuVernay's latest film.
Not mad at that.
Nope.
That's cool.
Oh, now, I don't know why they couldn't just donate the damn tickets, but...
Yeah.
Can I mention about The Wrinkle in Time?
Sure.
Sure.
When I saw the first trailer, I did not like it. Then I saw the second trailer, and I loved it. So cutting trailers is very important.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that first trailer was terrible.
Yeah. Just
the
look at Justice League.
Was so bad. And I'm like, I am not watching this film. I cannot
just
watch
just
this
look
film.
At Suicide. Just look at Suicide Squad. I mean, you know.
I want to get your hopes up, Russ. The early buzz is not great.
Wait, you mean the Oscar-winning film, Suicide Squad?
Yes,
the Oscar-winning Suicide Squad. That
I
film
can't
has won more. That film has won more Oscars than all other DCU films combined.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Ding.
And accurate, sadly.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Oh, wait. You're just in time for us trashing Justice League. Bison's called. Is Bison's on the call?
Show's over, Bison. Go to bed.
Good evening, Bison.
Continue. I don't have anything to say.
Maybe, man.
Moving on. So the Comic Convention Division of Reed Exhibition. I can't talk tonight.
Exhibitions.
Exhibitions, yes. Thank
you. That's
what
you get for having your head in the gutter, Mr. Tidy Bowl Man.
Anyway, Reed Pop has been busy the last few days. First, the company that runs New York Comic Con, Emerald City Comic Con, and PAX announced that they are creating a new comic book convention in Cape Town, South Africa, which will run September 14th to 16th.
Okay.
Also, the company announced that it has purchased the major new game news conglomerate Gamer Network. So that includes US Gamer, Euro Gamer, bunch of sites. So, yeah. they're basically getting into creating the content as well as celebrating it. So, Kevin Smith had a heart attack over the weekend.
That really shocked me. He's like, what, 44 years old?
Yeah.
I don't know. He doesn't seem like he's physically fit.
But still, it shocked me. And, you know, I'm glad he's going to make a recovery, but wow. That was like, which is awful. You know?
Yeah, the director, writer, and comic book store owner took to Facebook to state that he had a severe heart attack while doing his two stand-up shows on Saturday. He, of course, thanked the doctor and others who helped him get to the hospital where his LED artery was unclogged.
Yeah.
Wow.
And by the way, he is doing okay. He's making a full recovery.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's good. It's just it goes to show you got to exercise, eat healthy, you know, just watch yourself. By the way, I have to take my own medicine because I ate too much seafood, and I told Lakita this, what happened to me, but I had a gout attack, which was not very fun.
Someone I know can't drink anymore because of that.
I told Lakita this. I went to New Orleans for a festival in the
That'll do it.
Once I was in New Orleans, yes, first I had a beignet from Café Du Monde, but that was okay. But the other thing I had was a lot of seafood. Too much seafood. Way too much seafood. And seafood, unfortunately, is high in purine, so watch your health, everybody. Watch your health and eat cherries.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No. This person I know, he loves to drink and he loves coffee and he's got to drink more water, which he will not do. So in other words, he's cutting back on his alcohol intake. Unfortunately.
No, you got to.
Is that the guy from South?
Yeah.
Is that the guy from South Texas breaking in? I just heard him.
Yeah, he tried. So, a recent survey has illustrated, though not really surprising, how frequent sexual misconduct occurs in Hollywood. The result of the survey published in last week's USA Today revealed that 94% of women in the industry have had various experiences of sexual misconduct.
Well, that's not surprising, considering how things are going lately.
Yeah.
One of them is Linda Frazier.
Yeah, they used the broad term of sexual misconduct. They did break it down in terms of, you know, inappropriate jokes, inappropriate behavior and stuff like that. But yeah, they grouped it all together and it was 94%. Yeah, we got to fix that shit.
We do.
It's so great to hear men say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, it's gonna take everybody.
Yep.
When I heard what happened to, like, you know, the Harvey Weinstein or Kevin Spacey, it's just, you know, the dam broke. You know, and I'm glad it did. That it's out in the open, basically, and that people are coming forward. Mm. It's kind of like one of those hidden secrets, you know. People just didn't talk about it, but now they do, and people have the guts. Talk about it, and you know they need to. So it's wrong, you know, what's happening. You know, with the harassments and everything, it really is. So
And I mean, there's just more and more coming out every day. Just proves to you, hey, we got to change the culture and change how we behave. And hey, listen, it's like Hollywood's just like any other workplace. You can't do that shit.
Was that one of those jokes, or were you serious?
I was actually being, it's actually a double entendre, but anyway.
French.
Yeah. Disney animator and voice actor Bud Lucky has passed away. The longtime animator who designed Woody in Toy Story, as well as worked on several other films, and was the voice of Eeyore and other characters, passed away at his hospice facility in Newton, Connecticut. He was 83 years old.
He was also the narrator of Boundin'.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he played the he played the jackrat or the jackalope.
He played everybody in that short. He was the only voice.
Oh, that's right.
So
eighty-three is not that old now. That's why, you know, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean he was one of the old timers from the old animation age, so.
Yeah, he was he was actually one of the original animator guys on Sesame Street back in the '60s.
Yep.
Nice.
Some other news. Joss Whedon has left the Batgirl film, which is okay because Roxane Gay may be negotiating to write the film herself. So.
Yay. Hopefully.
Yes. Well, I did like World of Wakanda, so.
It's hard to get excited about anything DCEU these days. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's okay, Pookie. It's okay.
Pookie's a
After some chit-chat on social media with James Gunn, there is a pretty good chance that Mark Hamill will appear in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yay.
Oh, really?
So I heard.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they basically had this whole back and forth on Twitter, and James Gunn was like, you know, DM me your details, I'll give you a call. So.
Well, I can't
literally everybody.
I can't wait to see Jake Skywalker in that movie.
It would be funny if we play what's Thanos' brother's name? I forgot.
Oh, Star Fox.
Yeah. He'd
make
a great
Star Fox. I don't know how they're going to handle
that one. Yeah, I would make him Star Fox. Apparently, Fox is making a Silver Surfer film, and that the Disney deal may be screwing that up along with their other Marvel projects.
Good.
So, yeah. Captain Marvel has cast humans actress Gemma Chan as the Kree geneticist Minerva.
Mm-hmm.
Antoine Fuqua is in talks to direct the Scarface remake film again.
Scarface?
Another one?
Yeah.
We need
Well,
no, we don't.
If you recall, the studio wants to remake it. Fuqua was originally in negotiations to direct it. He dropped out, and now they're approaching him again. So
it's a remake.
Yeah. Remake.
Maybe
remake.
They'll get a lady Scarface.
Ooh, interesting.
I'll just watch, what is the name of that show? Queen of the South.
Yeah, that's basically, yeah, he is right. That is Queen of the South.
It's really good. So.
Just saying. Mads Mikkelsen has been tapped to star in the Netflix film adaptation of the graphic novel Polar. So that's happening. Amazon is not only going to house that Dark Tower TV series that was long rumored, but also they have bought the rights to Wheel of Time, Ringworld, and Lazarus, and Snow Crash. So
basically every... Wow, Snow Crash as well?
Yep.
That's been all of them. A movie for like 30 years now.
Yeah, I know.
I hope they make the Wheel of Time. I grew up reading those novels.
I actually would like to see that happen. Get the right producer. Like, well, I wouldn't say Stephen Fuller because he drops out the day after he picks a project up. But
Brian Fuller.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Just not Brian Fuller, because like I say, he'll drop a project 2 days after picking it up. So, great guy, you know, great person in terms of, you know, able to build a television series, but unreliable. just saying. I mean, he's working on the Anne Rice Vampire Chronicles now. I'm just expecting in another week or two he's going to be dropping out of that.
Yeah, I mean, with Fuller now, everything has a doomsday clock.
Just like pushing daisies. Disney Junior is developing a Rocketeer animated.
Oh God! This. Why?
Another Rocketeer? Again?
Because they're talking about Starface.
A female Rocketeer.
It's
an animated series on Disney Junior.
For Disney Junior. Okay. So basically, instead of Rocketeer, it's Sophia the First with a rocket pack.
That's a good
Sophia
description.
The First.
Can I
add
his
punching either.
Well, why can't it be what's her name? The doctor one, Doc McStuffins with the rocket.
Yo, Bison's trying to get in.
I'm trying to go with something a little more current, John. Doc McStuffins has been over for years.
What?
No, it's still going on. Actually,
yeah.
They had one more season.
Huh? Oh, they did. I thought they were.
Yeah,
you should.
She's got her pistol and everything.
Yeah, gosh.
Like how? Well, I honestly go out and watch Disney Junior on purpose, guys.
I go watching it on purpose. I have a nephew. Okay, he's that age. How is he watching?
Why is he watching Doc McStuffins then?
Because he's 4 years old.
Yo, I want to hear what Bison had to say.
Yeah, Bison speak.
No, you dogs speak. I'm going to converse. It was going to be a live-action movie for the Rocketeer. It was going to have a black female lead, and then it sort of faded. That news was
first
announced.
I've heard of this.
That news was announced maybe 3 years ago.
Are you sure?
It
may have been a comic book, because I don't remember a movie.
No, I'm sure. I'm very sure of that. They announced it and said it was going to do a reboot. And it's going to have the female, it will be a black person, black female protagonist. Whoever's at a computer can look it up. And then it sort of faded. I sort of asked some questions maybe about 5 months ago because I didn't hear anything about casting or anything like that. And
well,
it gets back to
actually, that is true. It was it was announced
in 2016. Last year.
Yeah, we didn't 2 years ago, actually, now.
Oh, yeah, I do not remember. I don't remember talking about this.
Yeah, I don't think this ever came up in the news on our show.
It was probably the day that wasn't around.
Yeah, probably.
No, it's just you guys just ignored it because you were in your DC movie pity party and just forgot about it.
We may have been on a vacation week when that was going on.
Hey. Rocketeer is an independent production. Distributed by Comico, which is not
so
DC.
So between that and the Devil Dinosaur and Moon Girl cartoon, the Miles Morales Spider-Man cartoon is coming out. Things are looking up a little bit, but I won't hold my breath on it change too much, but it's a start.
Yeah.
Orphan Black co-creator Graham Mason has stepped up to be the new showrunner for the Snowpiercer series. The Punisher Netflix series has cast Floriana Lima, of course, of Supergirl, Georgia Wiggum, and Josh Stewart for season 2. And after 2 seasons, Fox has canceled Wayward Pines.
Oh.
El Camino is crying somewhere in the corner.
Wait, was that M. Night show?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, once actual Twin Peaks came back, screw Wayward Pines. That crap's done.
Wow.
Well,
pretty much.
Well, who saw Twin Peaks, the revival?
I did. I watched all of it. I'm the only one who did.
It?
I loved it.
I loved it too. It's definitely classic David Lynch.
Very.
I had a question.
Especially the black and white episode.
It was very clever what they did with that show and tied it to the first 2 seasons. But Mike, do you have any news about the Shannara Chronicles? About
canceled.
Yeah, MTV canceled that, but I think they're trying to save it.
But do you have any news whether they actually were successful in shopping around? Because I really want that show to continue.
It hasn't, but it is up front season, so there's still a chance someone else could pick it up.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I hope they do. I really do.
And finally, the world is unfortunately edging ever closer to Star Wars.
No.
Speaking to a group of airmen in Orlando on Friday, the Air Force General David L. Goldfein has advised the crowd that it will be a matter of years before we are drawn into fighting from space or in space. During his speech, he attempted to make the case that the U.S. must, quote, embrace space superiority with the same passion and sense of ownership as we apply to air superiority today.
Superiority?
You know what?
Don't put much into that. We have to pay the Russians to get to lower orbit. I think Star Wars from the U.S. military is still a ways off.
Just remember, it could be like Moonraker.
Young people from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future.
Oh my God!
Is that Star Troopers?
Yeah.
So we could be Valley Bugs. But you mentioned this is a show that was renewed for season 3, The Expanse. I don't know if anybody's seen The Expanse.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a show of people fighting in space. You know.
Yeah.
So
I do not like the series.
Really?
Oh,
it seems to be really popular.
I like
it. Hardcore sci-fi.
And I'll tell you why I prefer the books better. The books are way better in terms of the storytelling. So I just like certain things, just like, ugh.
So read the series.
So it's got
Game of Thrones syndrome.
Yeah. Anyway. This is to finish off the article, the last news item. This is on top of the Air Force's request for $8.5 billion in spending just in space research and development for 2019.
Because it costs so much?
Yeah, exactly.
As a certain white condom shaped Japanese superhero once said, it's space time.
God. Anyway. For more news and commentary from the rest of us, check us out on Twitter at 5NerdyVenoms. It's @5VENerdyVenoms. Or our Facebook page, facebook.com/5NerdyVenoms. Again, @5VENerdyVenoms. And that is your news for this Tuesday evening.
That was the worst comment writer.
It's over. Pieces on.
You want to do the box office total?
Yeah.
And then do the major movies coming out this
Black
weekend.
Black Panther, we're done.
Yeah.
Really, it's the Black Panther show this weekend again. It made another $111 million. Number two was the well-reviewed Game Night, $17 million. So yeah, that gap is massive. Number three is Peter Rabbit, $12 million. Number four, Annihilation, kind of underperformed, $11 million.
Annihilation got annihilated.
Yeah. Number five, 50 Shades Free, $7 million. Number six, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, made another $5.6 million. Number seven, The 517 to Paris. Number eight, The Greatest Showman, made another $3.4 million. Number nine, Whatever Every Day Is, made $3 million. And number 10, Early Man, is basically dead in the U.S., with $1.7 million.
Yeah. Unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Ring, ring.
Hello, you select Mr. Rank Movie Phone. First. Oh no, it's Death Wish.
Wait, what?
Death Wish, the movie.
Wait, the Netflix movie?
No.
It's Death Wish.
A national movie.
Hilarious.
Next, but another Jennifer Lawrence. Next,
what's that?
Another. What?
Are they remaking that too?
Yeah, they remade it. Bruce
they
Willis
already remade it.
Charles Bronson now.
Oh, they already did? Okay, you see, I just, after Death Wish, I don't know, 25 or however many they had, I sort of just...
I mean, he was in a walker by the end of that series. So.
Once you realize that every Charles Bronson movie after Once Upon a Time in the West was just Death Wish, yeah, it's all...
Yeah, exactly. All right,
so
keep going.
So many of Death Wishes, wow. The first one was great, but after that, it's like Police Academy.
Let's finish up before JD turns into a pumpkin.
Thanks.
Next, another Jennifer Lawrence box office smash, just like all the others. It's Red Sparrow.
Oh, I thought it was Black. I thought it was Black Widow. Oh, sorry.
Doesn't matter either way. It's bomb.
Next, Apocalypse. It's a sci-fi film. Next, it's almost as good as Police Academy. It's Dance Academy: The Comeback. One, Death House. It is a horror film with a Death House.
So we have Death Wish and Death House.
As Lucy, it's a comedy drama. And finally, the story of what John's going to do tonight, Submission. And that is your movies for this week.
Thank you. Thank you. That took my breath away. Russell, thank you for coming on the show again. Do you have anything you want to share? You always have fun when you come on the show.
I do.
Surprisingly.
Surprisingly. Is there anything you wanted to shout out before we wrap it up?
Well, you know, I should give a shout out to Paul Hickman, who's a writer, producer of Assassin's Apprentice, which is completed, and we will be having a premiere. Just want to let everybody know in about 2 months or so. So just be on the lookout. We just completed it literally like a day ago. So you could see everything, all the information of anything of all the films that I mentioned at www.russem.com. That's RUSSEM.com. And it goes to the Whisper link, Assassin's Apprentice, Caller, Occupants, PJ, you name it. So the meeting, it's all there. And again, I just want to say thank you to everybody for having me on again. You know, I really do appreciate it. And, you know, and I'm not just talking about the interview part, but, you know, talking about other movies. It's very fun. I really do appreciate it.
We try to entertain and inform. Mostly.
Well, you did. Now I'm going to watch The Disaster Artist and Star Wars Rebels.
Oh yeah, that's right. The final season is going on.
Yes,
I watched
last week's episode.
And Ian McDiarmid is coming back as the Emperor, so I'm very excited.
Yes, he is.
Ooh.
Yes. Anyway, check us out on Twitter, Aaliyah_She. That is, of course, Twitterella. Howard Tilby, Arts Humana. That is Shadow Scouts, MDog957, myself, Jonathan J Stone Zero, Real Lord Dalek, Sharita22. That is our Silent Wonder, as well as Luminous with two E's, and Phil_Una, of course, and of course for all your nerdy news, you have 5 Nerdy Venoms. Again, it's FIVE Nerdy Venoms, and Geek Soul Brother as well on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Christian dating.
FarmersOnly.com.
FarmersOnly.
You don't have to get lonely.
JD.
He's really going to get you.
Are you choking? You okay, JD?
Namla.
Yes, I am.
Of course, also check out Universal FanCon April 27th through the 29th. We had Big Baba Rob and Darth Gigonius on the show on Comic Amani on Thursday, talking about the show. Really support this. It's, all of us are backing it, and you should too, really. So make a trip out to Baltimore.
Be more.
Yes. And of course, again, Black Geeks. Thanks again to the Black Geeks, Black Girl Nerds, Bison for Life, who joined us this evening, Blurred Words, Mutsky, who is also listening to us as well, and slew of other people. And, of course, check out GeekSoulBrother.com, which has news and reviews from Geek Soul Brother and from Shadow and from myself and from Blurred Words. And also, hit that donate button. It's that
donate button.
Like
and
it went flat.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not doing it. Anyway, also check out the Patreon page as well. And that's it. Come join us back on Tuesday. And, yeah. See you later, y'all.
Thank you.
Peace out,
Thank you again.
Yay.
Yeah, Russ.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
You got a bean washed down.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. It's not... Oh, man. No, you want to know something?
We got cows. We got...
I think that's hysteria.
Oh my God, JD, you are right.
JD has like that Japanese lady laugh.
Poor little brother.
Stand up to her face.
Akita, you went hysterical.
Where are all the country girls?
They're at farmersonly.com.
Okay, are we going to Disney Michael?
Oh, my God.
He's going to kill you guys.
Wow.
Our recording has been completed.
Actually, no, because of the jerk from South Texas, they won't let me end the call. Again.
They love our show just that much.
Yeah.
Thank you, South Texas. Stars at night are big.
Yeah, thanks, South Texas. You're going to finally have to make us give up talk to you because we can't leave because of you.
Wait, why can't it close out? He's not even on the call.
Because he's a hacker, and he's able to, for some strange reason, he's able to unmute himself. And control and have some leeway in terms of how it's controlled.
I feel special.
The show hasn't ended?
It can't.
I can't.
Not yet.
The show's not over yet, people.
I could stop my recording, but the actual live broadcast, we are still running because we can't
get this party started, right?
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah, welcome to Bale Super
Night. How long is it going to still record? What, 2 hours? 3 hours?
Well, until we all log off and I log back in and basically shut it down.
Well, I will log off. Well, then I'm logging off.
Yeah.
Night, y'all.
Good night. Thank you.
Night, fam. Hi, Auntie.
Night.
Hi, Auntie.